She turned to Mayor. "Do you know he won't give me the coordinates for this castle he found?"
"What castle?" Mayor asked.
"Where he found the Laymill electronics stack."
A smile spread across Mayor's whole face.
"A castle? You didn't tell me that, Joshua. Did it have knights and wizards in it?"
"No," Joshua said firmly.
"It was a big cube structure. I called it a castle because of the weapon system. It was tough work getting in, one wrong move, and..."
Grave lines scored his face. Kelly squirmed a fraction closer.
"It was operational," Mayor was enjoying himself.
"No.
So why was it dangerous?"
"Some of the systems still had power in their storage cells, so given how much molecular decay they've suffered out there in the ring, just brushing against them could have triggered off a short circuit. They would have blown like a chain reaction."
"Electronic stacks and functional power cells? That really was a terrific find, Joshua."
Joshua glared at him.
"And he won't tell me where it is," Kelly complained. "Just think, something that big which survived the suicide could well hold the key to the whole Laymill secret. If I could capture that on a sensorize, I'd be made. I could pick my own office with Collins then. Hell, I'd be in charge of my own office."
"I'll sell you where it is," Joshua said. "It's all up here." He tapped his head.
"My neural mnemonics have got its orbital parameters down to a meter. I can locate it any time in the next 10 years for you."
"How much are you asking?" Mayor asked.
$10 million.
"Thanks, I'll pass."
"Doesn't it bother you standing in the way of progress?" Kelly asked.
"No. Besides, what happens if the answer turns out to be something we don't particularly like?"
"Good point," Mayor raised his glass.
"Joshua, people have a right to know. They are quite capable of making up their own minds. They don't need to be protected from facts by people like you. Secrets seed oppression."
Joshua rolled his eyes.
"Jesus, you just like to think reporters have a God-given right to stuff their own noses in anywhere they want."
Kelly tipped a glass to his lips, encouraging him to sip the champagne.
"But we do."
"You'll get it bitten off one day, you'll see. In any case, we will know what happened to the Laymill. With the size of the research team Tranquility employs, results are inevitable."
"That's you, Joshua, the eternal optimist.
Only an optimist would even think about going anywhere in that ship of yours."
"There's nothing wrong with the Lady Mac," Joshua bridled. "You ask Mayor, those systems are the finest money can buy."
Kelly fluttered long, dark lashes inquiringly at Mayor.
"Oh, absolutely," he said.
"I still don't want you to go," she said quietly. She kissed Joshua's cheek.
"They were good systems when your father was flying her, and they were newer then. Look what happened to him."
"That's different. Those orphans on the hospital station would never have made it back here without the Lady Mac. Dad had to jump while he was too close to that neutron star."
Mayor let out a distressed groan and drained his glass.
Joshua was up at the bar when the woman approached him. He didn't even see her until she spoke. His attention was elsewhere. The barmaid's name was Helen Vanham. She was 19, with a dress cut lower than Harkey's normal, and she seemed eager to serve Joshua Calvert, the starship captain. She said she finished work at 2 in the morning.
"Captain Calvert?"
He turned from the pleasing display of cleavage and thigh.
Jesus, but that title felt good.
"You got me." The woman was black, very black. There couldn't have been much geneering in her family, he decided, although he was suspicious about that deep pigmentation. She was 50 centimeters shorter than him, and her short beret of hair was frosted with strands of silver. He reckoned she was about 60 years old and aging naturally.
"I'm Dr. Alcat Nzu," she said.
"Good evening, Doctor.
I understand you have a ship you're fitting out."
"That's right, the Lady Macbeth, finest independent trader this side of the Kulu Kingdom. Are you interested in chartering her?"
"I may be."
Joshua skipped a beat.
He took another look at the small woman. Alcat Nzu was dressed in a suit of grey fabric, a slim collar turned up around her neck.
She seemed very serious, her features composed in a permanent expression of resignation. And right at the back of his mind there was a faint tingle of warning.